chair Bible in front of you. But we love to worship God in song, and we love to worship God in prayer. We love to worship God through the public reading of His Word and the teaching of His Word and preaching of His Word. So here we are in Philippians 4, and I put down Philippians 4, 4 through 14. I think it's today is going to be 4 through 13 is where I'll conclude today. We'll see. But, you know, Rich, one of our elders here, preached through some of these verses last week, but I just wanted to put the key verses for today's sermon, which will be 10 through 13 in context of where Paul is. And so verse 4, God's word says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I will say, rejoice. "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, in whatever is true, and whatever is honorable, and whatever is pure and just, whatever is just and pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." We'll stop there today. Would you pray with me as we begin? So, Father, the time is at hand to proclaim your word. And Lord, you know I need your strength, your power. I just read true words that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so I'm relying on the power of the Spirit of Christ now to boldly and correctly, truthfully proclaim your word. Father, do your work in our hearts. Open humble hearts. Open our ears to hear what you'd have us to hear from your word. Change us, Lord. Help us to be more like Christ, our Savior and Lord. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before I delve into these verses, I just have a couple sentences of introduction. I've already thanked the church and said it's good to be home. And one of our members greeted me shortly after my return and said, "Pastor, while you were gone, the church was in good hands." And I said, "Amen." I'm very much aware of that, very grateful what God has done over the last 4 years. And so when I left for vacation, our son's wedding, I knew that Christ's church was in good hands because Christ is the head of this church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But he's also, over the last several years, raised up godly leaders. And I'm very grateful for the many leaders that we have in our church. And I was not anxious at all, and I'm not anxious today upon my return, because I know that God is good and God is sovereign, and He's working all things for His glory and for our ultimate good. Our joy in Christ is the vision we had 4 years ago, and it remains true today. And I look forward to seeing His hand continuing to work among us. But if you'll allow me one other word, that because I know in the summertime, many of us travel, many of you travel. And if you happen to be out 2 weeks ago or last Sunday, I plead with you to go to our website and listen to the two sermons that were preached from this pulpit, both from Pastor TJ and from Rich. They were a delight to listen to. It took a little while to get on. Sorry about that. But they are on there now. And my soul literally smiled as I heard these two brothers passionately proclaim the truth and beauty of God's Word over the last 2 weeks. As Pastor TJ said, our authority alone is the Word of God, and it's central to our church and to our lives. And as Rich preached, we are to be praying, thankful, humble Christians whose hearts and minds and attitudes are guarded in Christ Jesus. And this brings us, Christ followers, much peace, as he preached about that last week as well, in the book of Philippians. So thank you, brothers, for your proclaiming the gospel. So my title today in Philippians 4 is Content in Christ. Content in Christ. Are you content in Christ this morning? It's been a tough week for some of you. I don't even know what all things that you've been through this week. But I do know it's been a tough week for some of you. I have heard. I have seen what's happened in our country. I know what's happened in my former school that's suffered the loss of two of my former students in this last week. Life is hard, and life can be difficult. But life, when people say to me, life is hard, and then you die, I just say, no, life is hard, and then you live as a Christian. If you're a follower of Christ, life is hard, yes, but we have the power of Christ. We stand in the power of Christ. We believe in the grace and glory of God, even in the midst of our sufferings and our heartaches. And I believe today's message will help all of us to be content in Christ when our world and our lives are discontented. So I don't take the preaching of God's Word lightly. I tremble every time I'm preparing, and especially every time I come up here, because I first want to please God, and I want to articulate truthfully what He's saying here. And this is one of the most beautiful passages in all of God's Word. As we have the Apostle Paul in prison in Rome, continually telling his brothers and sisters up in Philippi, rejoice in the Lord. There's great joy in being a believer. I don't know how many of you have been beaten or stoned or thrown in prison. But can you, like Paul, get a glimpse about how much he has faith in God in the midst of his sufferings and persecutions, that he can say, rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say, rejoice. The Lord is at hand in your life today. The Lord has not brought anything into your life that he cannot handle, that you cannot handle with him. Yes, life is short. It's but a vapor. But eternity is long. And we need to be prepared now for eternity. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And I heard this week, as I listened to just a little segment of the beginning of a sermon of a pastor friend of mine, and he recounted the story when he came to a church, and I just want to say this. He said, as a young 30-some-odd-year pastor, one of the first things he did as a pastor of the church is he made a hospital visit to a 100-year-old doctor who was getting ready to die. And as he took the doctor's hand, the doctor looked up at him and said, Pastor, it is so good to be saved. And I never forgot that. And I never forget that. Are you saved today? Do you know Christ? Are you content in Him? Oh, the world, if we set our minds on earthly things, as Paul teaches us here, if we set our minds on earthly things, we will be discontented people. We will live lives of anxiety and frustration day in and day out, and we'll be horrible witnesses that we know where we're going, and we know who is Lord of our lives and Lord of our circumstances. And He's working all things together for the good to those who love Him. Do you love Him today? See, the message of being content in Christ comes in verse 11 here. I'm going to get to it. I'm skipping part of my introduction. But I, over the last few weeks, I've had to live this out. And you say, oh, but Pastor, we've seen the pictures. You had a beautiful wedding of your son. Everything went so well. And it did overall, praise God. But there are family situations that devastate your heart. And you wonder, what's going on, God, in this parent's life and health? And you wonder, are they ready? What kind of attitude am I going to have in my waning years? Are you going to even give me the mental capacity in my waning years for my lips to say, there's nothing better that I've experienced in my life than to be saved? Because if you're not saved, if you're not born again, you will live a life of discontentment your entire life. You will never be satisfied. This is what Paul is really getting at here. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer, are you a person of prayer? Have you poured out your heart to God on a daily basis and said, God, your will be done in my life. Even in this trial, your will be done in my life. And that's a dangerous prayer. Because if all's going well right now in your life, it always won't. Trials will come. How are you going to deal with them at that moment? So let your request be known to God. God loves you more than any earthly parent could ever love you. And He desires, don't you just desire to hear, if you're blessed to be a parent, a grandparent, what your children need and you want to supply to their needs? God is so much holier and gracious and loving than we are. And He just wants to know, do you trust me? Speak to me. Pray to me. And if you do this, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, because life is all about Jesus. Christ is all. And so He tells us, set our minds. And this is what I, like my oldest son, that is, I think, after wedding reception, one of his friends said, he lives in his mind too much, or he lives in his mind a lot. And I think I know where he got part of that. And I think, and I overthink sometimes too much. And I was convicted, remembering, yes, that I'm going to be preaching from, think about these things. What am I going to set my mind on? Am I going to be a worrier over the next 2 weeks? Am I going to worry about what's going on in the church? Am I going to worry about my parents? Am I going to worry about the wedding? Or I'm going to set my mind and my heart on spiritual matters, or be consumed with earthly things. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Rich did a great job of going through these verses. I'm not going to recount them all here today. Checking your attitude, one of the best sermons I've heard on how to live out these great truths in the Christian life. But God was showing me, you know, in the interactions that I had with a multitude of different people, and that I always have, it seems, it just brought it really home to me, that there are so many people that we deal with on a daily basis who don't set their minds on these things. They set their minds on things that are dishonorable, that are wicked, that are not pure, that are unlovely, that are not commendable, that are not excellence. And guess what? They are discontent when they lay their head down many nights going, what in the world? Guilt. They're not content. They're anxious. They're frustrated. I don't know. Different emotions can hit at different times. But what I was convicted of when I read through this passage, before I get to verse 10, Rich, you artfully did this wonderfully last week. He's saying, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, Well, that's pretty boastful. No, Paul, can you get it by now? If you know Paul, he's not boasting here because his boast is only in the cross, right? I mean, he says that repeatedly. I got nothing to boast on except the cross of Christ, what God has done in me. And he's saying, but I'm a follower of Christ. And if I practice these things in Christ, the God of peace can be with you like it is with me right now, awaiting my death, my execution. How is that possible? Well, Paul followed Christ. Paul loved the Lord. We have the testimony of God's working throughout history in redemption. We have all the promises of God here. And we're getting to a big one, Philippians 4:13, which is most often misapplied in people's lives and misunderstood. We're going to get there. We have the promises of God. And I believe, I've said it when I preached on future grace a long time ago, the purifying power of living by faith in God's future grace, trusting in His promises, standing on the promises of God. Remember that, church? We live a peaceful life when we think on these things in the context of our relationship with Christ, and we feed on His Word, and we memorize, and we intake His Word, and then we're preparing ourselves daily to walk as a Christian, to be a witness for the world. And when the trials come, we have the ability now to fight the good fight of faith with the truth of God's Word through the Spirit of God living in us, to be able to live and not check out. Is the Bible applicable to my life, Pastor? When I look at people who don't believe the Bible, who are trying on their own to figure out life, the vast majority of them do not demonstrate the peace of God in their lives. We are to demonstrate and bear witness, and I don't think we bear witness well enough when we act like them, think like them, talk like them, have the same desires as they do when we are a part of the called out ones, the church. So, we need to think about these things. Paul was saying to the Philippians, I need to get back. Paul was saying to the Philippians here, fill your mind with things that will inspire you to worship and trust God and to serve others in His name. I haven't met a whole lot of discontented people who like to serve other people. They seem to me more self-focused all the time. And if you think back to about a month ago, I gave a glad challenge to all of us to interact with somebody, a neighbor, somebody you don't know at the checkout stand, to interact with them and tell them that God is good. You could do that with your voice, fine. You could do that by, you know, I told you about the video I saw, and somebody reposted it this week, of this guy who just wanted to go and pay somebody's grocery bill. And all they did was just pat him on the back and just say, God is good, and left. And they left them there going, what's he doing that for? People who don't have their contentment in God, that God shall supply all their needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. People who aren't rejoicing in God and what He is for them that day, they don't get that thought. Who aren't praying, they don't get that thought that maybe I should look for the needs to help someone else out. Oh, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands today of who's done something outside of their comfort zone and taken a risk for the gospel this summer and just kind of, you know, took the conversation to a spiritual conversation. Or I always struggle at this point. Spiritual leaders, though, have to lead by example, don't they? if you can't trust your spiritual leaders, you need to find spiritual leaders you can trust. And so it's hard for me to tell my church to do something in the name of Christ intentionally, not to check a box, because you know if you've been here long enough that we're not about a church that we do enough good works to earn our salvation, but we want our lives to so intertwine with other people that we tell them about the Lord, that He's good in some capacity. And so I'm not going to stand before you today and said I told people God was good intentionally 20 times over the last 2 weeks. But praise be to God, I can vividly remember too, that apart from having prayed and sought God and said, Lord, I'm not doing this to check a box, but it was the Holy Spirit of God. And I think maybe one of my boys or two of them saw it, but shocking somebody with the love of God is more of a blessing to us than it is to them. He just allowed me, my life, to intertwine with a family in need. It's beautiful. And you go away from that saying, that family is talking about Jesus right now. Don't talk about us. Don't talk about me. When you say, I did this because Jesus led me to do this. In His name. Do you know Jesus? He loves you. You have a good day. And you move on. Well, I had to move on because they're not my neighbor. If they're neighbor, develop a relationship with them. Love them. So we pray. I think if we're not praying people, we're not going to sense God's movement to do things like this. We need to be praying people. What did you say last week, Rich? The aim of prayer is to remove anxiety and to replace it with peace. That's a good reason to pray. And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming yearly with the Spirit's sword. Oh, wait a minute. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. What is the Spirit's sword? The Word of God. Overcoming what? Your discontentedness. With the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Christian, He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you. He promises that. And my God, we'll find out next week, will supply every need of yours according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To God our Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen is the song of our hearts. So we focus on His promises and think about these things. Think about these godly characteristics. And the peace of God will come over you and you will be a contented Christian. Oh, but we like to think more about our troubles than our blessings. I think it was Spurgeon who said, we are too prone to engrave our trials in marble and our blessings in sand. I know contentment, church, comes from trusting the glorious promises of God, not our human what ifs. You all like the what if a lot? You think about the future? Well, my wife could testify that I used to what if a lot. Don't do it as much. Still need to pray so that I won't what if that situation or this situation. But there's growth in the Christian life, and praise be to God, He has helped me in that area. As I said, if you think the Bible is just good head knowledge or wishful thinking, you've likely not experienced the power of the Spirit of God in your life. I can't overemphasize the importance of reading and studying and knowing the Word of God, a steady diet of biblical intake. And if you need a good place to start, let's go to Philippians 4. As Paul teaches us here, we're going to jump into the passages 10 through 13 that I was hoping to get to. Yes, that's probably the longest introduction I've ever had. But I pray it was biblical. If it wasn't, forget it. If it was, let's live it out. Philippians 4, the key to peace in this life. And the next is found right here. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. Verse 10. You're indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. What's Paul mean by that? Well, the Philippians had lost contact with Paul. And he was there. He brought them the gospel. Many of them could now say on their deathbed, I'm saved. I know God. I'm going to spend eternity with Him. And you know what kind of heart that Philippians had? A thankful heart. We're grateful, Paul. And they used to support Paul, okay, in his missionary journeys. But they lost contact with him. He was arrested. He was moved to Rome. They didn't know where he was. They didn't have an opportunity. And Paul, with some of the most beautiful Greek language that's used, not only in the Bible, but in all of Greek literature, some Greek scholars say, this passage is unbelievably beautiful in the Greek. I'm not going to read it to you in the Greek. Okay? But the way it's constructed in the English is, this is very close. It's not, probably not as beautiful as the Greek. But what he's doing here is he's telling them when they found out that he was there and they're going to send Epaphroditus down with stuff to help Paul. And he's very thankful. He thanked them at the beginning of Philippians, remember? And Epaphroditus almost lost his life in the process, got very ill. Okay. And so now he's saying, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. But now, you know, you're going to have an opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, because he wants to tell them as lovingly and as tactfully as possible, I'm grateful. I'm very grateful. But you know what? I've grown in my walk with the Lord, too, and I have learned the secret of being content, whether I have a little or a lot, whether I'm hungry or I have abundance of food, provisions. It's a very beautiful passage. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. Oh, how many in today's entertainment-driven churches could say, I have learned how to be brought low. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and you've been brought low, look up and say, God, help me in this situation. You are my God. I need you. Help me not to go against the faith that you've given me. And I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And in that context, listen to the context, because a lot of people have this verse in all sorts of trinkets, all sorts of bumper stickers, all sorts of tattoos, all sorts of everything. And I wonder if they know the context in which this verse is written. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And I've seen in some, not all, I can do all things through Christ, of course. That's not what the verse means. Paul, as if he's saying, I've learned the secret of being content with a lot or a little. And right now, his world's kind of small. He's not having as big an impact right now in prison. He's content. God's will be accomplished either in death or in life, right? Remember early Philippians? For to me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. And I can do all things through Him. And in the Greek, that could also be in Him. So it's in Christ. And the connotation is here that you can do all things through Him, as Christ, to do God's will. You can't do all things if you're going to sin. This is knowing that you're about, as a believer, doing God's will. Well, Pastor, how do you know that? It says, literally, Pastor, I can do all things through Him. I cannot make myself go invisible right now. Well, you can't do all things then, Pastor. No, you can't either. Can you run a 100-yard dash in 3 seconds? You can claim I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me all you want, but you're not going to run the 100-yard dash in 3 seconds. There must be something else here. And what's here is that Paul, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of the Christian life, he's at the possible end of his life. I can face death. I can face the future. I don't know what's the future. We like to say, but I know who holds the future. Paul knew who held his future, whether that was 24 hours of living or for eternity. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me to do the Father's will. That's really, it's in here. If you look at Pauline literature and Pauline scriptures here, this is here. I can do all things in Christ to do God's will. Christian, God will give you all that you need. He will give you the strength that you need to fulfill His will. Every Christian has a spiritual gift. Every Christian has a mission. Every Christian is a minister. Every Christian is a full-time minister. And so you are ministering the gospel in whatever context when you walk out that door. If you're a believer, you're either going to be salt and light, or you're going to be discontent and you're going to be fearful of the world. Have you learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger? Oh, Paul is talking to them with some language and this idea of a secret. If you want to get into that philosophically and what was going on there in the non-Christian world, they were going to, you know, people are going to pay attention to this. I learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need, and I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And the emphasis is not on the I can, it's the Him who strengthens me part. Beautiful passage, as I said. Content Christians. That's really where I focused in this passage. Again, why? Yeah, life experience. Present experience right now. By seeing a bunch of people who are not content. And what I heard in a lot of the language of the people who are not content with what was going on in their lives right now was a focus on earthly things. Really was. I mean, day in, day out. Have you heard the news? Have you heard what Obama's done this week? Have you heard what the stock market might happen? Do you know that the whole West Coast may fall off? I mean, it's really overdue for a big earthquake. That's why I tell people, don't watch the news 24/7. It's depressing. From a guy who taught current events for many years and had to watch the news every day, I know it's depressing. As Christians, we are not called to walk around as depressed people. So if the news depresses you, turn it off. Turn it off. What do you do with your time then? I mean, I watch 2 hours of news a day. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, Paul would say to the church at Colossae, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Oh, well, then you'll be no earthly good. No. You set your mind on things above and you see your brother and sister in need, you'll say, tag, I'm the one that's supposed to help them. You won't be saying, I'm discontent. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to prep. Have you met preppers? Anyway, Wow. I may be stepping in dangerous territory there. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, the fear and the discontent. You're going to live as long as God has a mission for you here. He's numbered your days. Nothing's going to happen to you apart from His will. So live joyfully. Let the world see you're okay in Christ. Set your mind on things above. So anything that is true and honorable, just and pure and lovely and commendable, if there's anything excellent, excellence in God, anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Because how we think, Christians, is going to be how we act and how we reflect Christ or not to a watching world, right? We can't go around as anxious people. We have to learn the Christian idea of contentment in Christ. And Paul's teaching us that here in these few verses in Philippians. I believe it was Jim Elliot who said, wherever you are, be all there. And then he goes on to say, live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. Be content in God's will. And believers, we don't have to wonder what God's will is. His word tells us His will is our sanctification, our holiness. His will is we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as ourselves. That's His will. We don't have to wonder what His will is. That's it in a nutshell. So God, yeah, we like to pray, and it's a good prayer. May the words of my mouth, not just at church, or not just in the prayer group, may the words of my mouth at work, may the words of my mouth at school, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, what I'm thinking about, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You're my rock, and that means something. And you're my redeemer. It's done. I don't have to earn your good favor. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Except walk through a wall or run the... You know what I'm saying? He'll give you all the strength you need to do His will. If you want the glory, no power. More anxiety, less contentment. You know that a spiritual gift is just a manifestation of the Spirit of Christ in the life of a Christian. Let me repeat that. A gift, a spiritual gift, is a manifestation of the Spirit of God in the life of a Christian. So as long as you function in Christ, you will have His power. When you stop praying, stop walking with God, stop feeding yourself the Word of God, stop being filled with His Spirit, you will have no power. You will not have contentment. No direction in life. But with Christ, all things are possible. So we live for His glory. We read His Word. We meditate on His Word. We want to be salt and light in our community. We want to share our lives and the gospel with others. This is Christian living for the glory of God. We feast upon His Word. We believe His promises. We desire God more than this world. We set our minds on things above. We help others to have their false thoughts captive to Christ. You know when it says take every thought captive to Christ? Paul is referencing others who were having false thoughts about God and Christ and what it meant. And he's like, take every thought captive to Christ. And so you give the Christian perspective, the biblical worldview to somebody who doesn't know it, that their thoughts would be captive to Christ. Yeah, there's a connotation to our thoughts being captive as well, but in a little bit different capacity. But I won't go there today. I need to wrap this up. I know. He wants us, Christians. He wants us to demonstrate that we love Him by doing His will and following His commands. Be more on this next week, but I'm more convinced than ever that there are two types of people. God-centered people who are more content, who display more peace in their daily lives. God-centered people and man-centered people who set their minds on earthly things. So, content in Christ. I will say, since I haven't been here for 2 weeks and I'm at the end of this sermon, there's one thing that I haven't commented on, and you know I'm not afraid of commenting on things, but I want to preach the Word, and I'll make comments when I need to about things happening in our society. But I was very discontent and disconcerted when I saw the horrific videos from Planned Parenthood. Because you know why? God is pro-life. He is the author of life. And so I pray that the upswelling of anger and public outrage over the killing of unborn children will lead to the demise of Planned Parenthood. We as Christians need to stand up for life. Everyone is born in the image of God. And those unborn are made in the image of God. How in the world can somebody abort what they once were? The Bible teaches us to love, and love is a sacrifice, and love is truthful. So we love you, Lord, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we want to love others by telling them about Jesus, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but through Him. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. So I urge us to think about Christ this week, to meditate on His Word, and to ask God, God, what is Your will for my life this week? Well, I know it's to be holy, so if there's any sin that creeps into my life, I need to kill it. And we've taught about that. How do you kill it? By believing in a superior pleasure than the sin, the Word of God. You want to please God more than yourself or man. So I want to think about Christ this week. I want to meditate on His Word. I want to realize that if God is leading me to do something, I can do that because Christ will strengthen me to get it done. So we walk by faith in what He's called us to do, church. Treasure Him more than the world, and the God of peace will be with you. So finally, brothers, whatever Paul says is true and honorable, pure, just, and lovely, commendable, is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. Think about these things. And the God of peace will be with you. And just don't stop at thinking. He says, as we remember, practice these things. And you'll be a lot more content in this world. May we pray? Sovereign God, we bow our knees and our hearts to You today for the beauty of Your glorious Word. We thank You for the Apostle Paul. We know that the Scripture is God-breathed, though. So we know it's true. And may we think on it. May we meditate on it. May we feast on it. God, may we delight in You more than delighting on the temporary things of this world. Oh, we thank You for Your creation, God. We thank You for the beauty of the mountains, the lakes, the oceans. We're grateful, Father, for the common grace that You give us all, the breath that You give us every day. We're grateful, Father, for the little things and the big things. And little things can become big things overnight. So, God, help us. Help us to trust You. Help us to think on You and on Your promises. knowing that you're able to make all grace abound to us in all situations. God, help us to know that you're our rock and our redeemer. So lead and guide us for your name's sake. And God, I pray that if there is someone here today that is just so discontent, that is so anxious about tomorrow and the future, that they will surrender their thinking and their heart life and their soul to Christ. Because Christ is the answer. We live, breathe, eat, drink, preach Christ. Thank you for Jesus, the Savior of our souls, the Redeemer of our souls, the Purifier of our bodies. We thank you, God. Lead and guide us for your great name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing some Jesus Paid It All, which is truth. And if God is